Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. It's Monday. We got to start the week out right in a good mood. Peppy music, as in Pep Talk. And with one of my favorite people, Jamie Coffey is here with NAS Whiting Field. She is public affairs director there. And you have a guest with you this morning, Jamie. Good morning.
I do. Chaps is with me today.
Chaps. Okay, Chaps. Must have a real name.
Absolutely.
I know
absolutely.
We got all these military nicknames, you know, but
Chaplain Ferguson, our new NAS Whiting Field Command Chaplain, is in the house this morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Chaps, how are you?
Blessed by the best always.
Okay, there we go. This is now really the perfect way to start Monday.
This is absolutely going to be a great morning, a great morning. And actually, a lot of folks are sleeping in today.
I know.
We have people off. We have schools are off, so the kids maybe mine are still in bed, so I won't even mention that.
Martin Luther King Day, as we celebrate
yes.
a great man. And by the way, the parades will be this morning in Pensacola at 11. Gorgeous day for a parade.
Oh, it is.
And in Milton as well, and I'm sure at other communities around the area. But I know for sure those two start at 11 o'clock.
Yes. You know, I'm going to mention in sort of a connection with NAS Whiting Field and MLK. I'm going to read you something. So back in 2018, we had a very special guest and we did a very special event commemorating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So I'm going to read something. So Miss Joanna Jackson, who had a close connection to Dr. King on March 25th, 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and a crowd of 25,000 marched on Montgomery, Alabama in support of voting rights for African Americans. The night before that event, Miss Jackson, then a six-year-old little girl, played around her childhood home as the men and the women who would become leaders of the civil rights movement discussed the logistics and plans for the historical march. So
wow.
We had her out at the base.
Did you really?
We were able to go to the Jackson House that's located in Selma.
I just saw a program on that last night.
Yeah. So they call the Jackson, this is her childhood home. It was an honor to meet her. We say she's kind of like the de facto niece of Dr. King, but her father and Dr. King met, and they were both leaders in their own right. So Jackson's childhood home became the ground zero for those voting rights campaign. So
and believe it or not, I just saw a program. They moved the house now.
Yeah,
in its entirety to be part. I believe it's part of a museum now.
It is. I've got the website. So for more information on the Jackson House, it's www.jacksonfoundationmuseum.com. So just if you want to Google Jackson Foundation Museum, you've got to go. This is where MLK Jr. strategized. It was a meeting spot for activists in the 1960s.
There's a picture of him sitting there. She's right at his feet, and they're watching TV as they talk. The TV, they're talking about the president, Lyndon Johnson at the time, was talking about the Civil Rights Act.
Incredible.
It's just incredible.
History.
And she was there as a little girl.
It's amazing. Just incredible. From the time she was about 4 to 6,
yeah.
She remembers playing around, and that we have the historical activists at, or,
yeah.
you know,
oh,
around
yeah.
her feet. Just anyway, just absolutely amazing. And it was just an honor to be able to tell her story out at NAS Whiting Field
yes.
back in 2018. And we had a reverend come out local to Pensacola and had a wonderful ceremony out there. And just absolutely to talk about that kind of historical significance was it anyway, truly an honor. So I know we have folks sleeping in today, but think of those and have great thoughts as
we've come a long way.
Yes, we absolutely have.
And that's
absolutely
the good news.
And you know, and here's how I'll segue into Chaplain Ferguson. One of the foundations of how we got to that event was our chaplain at the time, our command chaplain, Chaplain Roy Fondren. And Chaplain Fodren was the one that kind of was the connection to Miss Joanna Jackson. So that's how it all got started.
Wow.
And then it was hosted by the chapel. So it was just an amazing experience.
I wish I could have been there.
It was cool. Okay.
All right.
We're jumping in.
Okay. So tell us what's happening now with NAS Whiting. Did y'all get some snow yesterday?
We got a little dusting. A dusting.
I know.
That's all we'll call it.
It wasn't quite the snow apocalypse as they were calling it last year, but
no.
Twice in 2 years is pretty good.
And then we'll see what happens this weekend coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I follow Spinks Meganson,
Me
great
too.
Meteorologist. Okay. And so I follow what Spinks says. He's wonderful. You got to Google him. He does a great job of weather in the Northwest Florida and Alabama mm-hmm. area. Okay, so on to Chaplain James Ferguson. Do you go by James or Jamie with a family?
I go by James.
Oh, you do go James, by James. Okay. Okay, I'm a Jamie, and then
Jamie and James in the house this morning. Oh my goodness!
But we call him Chaps. I'll call you definitely a special guest for NAS Whitingfield and for the news radio today. So you are the new command chaplain for NAS Whitingfield, serving at Whitingfield, but also you're serving for the largest training air wing in the Navy, Training Air Wing 5, because that's a tenant out at NAS Whitingfield. So, Chaps, you have your hands full. We are so excited to officially welcome you to NAS Whitingfield and Pensacola, Florida, and the like. So let's just jump in. Can you kind of tell us, where are you from?
Yeah, I'm from Huntington, West Virginia. Really born in, born in Huntington, lived in Wayne, West Virginia, then lived in Huntington for a while. Okay. Yeah, that's where I'm from.
Now, do you have married? What, can we talk family?
Yes, I'm married to my beautiful, wonderful wife, Kayla. We've been together 16 years,
wow.
Married for 10. And our wonderful son, Josiah, our ball of joy.
Aww.
How old is he?
He's 3, going on 20.
Oh, I bet this Christmas was special. It's just about when they start catching on to Santa. Yeah.
Yes. We just got him this X-ray toy from Stretch Armstrong, and he loves it.
That is so exciting. I didn't realize that you guys had a little one. So shout out to Kayla. We can't wait to meet her out at the base as well. That's just so great to hear. That is so great to hear. So you have an interesting story, because we can assume, you know, Navy chaplain, new command chaplain, that you've been in the Navy for a minute, but I would say that that is not true. Can you kind of you have the most interesting story of one, how you even became a chaplain, but kind of walk us through some of your military.
Yeah. So we joined the military to get our Master's of Divinity paid for. So we joined the Army, did 8 years in the Army before becoming a chaplain in the Navy.
Wow.
So did 5.5 years enlisted, served at Fort Hood, did 2 deployments out of there.
Wow.
Transferred to Fort Leonardwood. Did a little bit of time, filled in as a platoon sergeant, did section sergeant time. Loved being enlisted, but... Yeah. Came to a point that we knew we didn't want to train people for combat anymore, that we wanted to only be there to be a light for Christ. So we were like, we'll get out. And then the door for the chaplaincy opened in the Army.
Yeah.
So just got our MDiv from Liberty University, applied. They said yes. And we were a chaplain in the Army for 2.5 years before coming to the Navy.
Oh, wow. So it was there, you know, I talked to a lot of chaplains who feel like they were called to the chapel corps or to the chaplain corps. Do you feel like you were called to become a chaplain? Because, you know, we were just talking, you know, right before we stepped into the studio, and you said that this wasn't the original plan. Just did something happen? And or do you feel called to serve?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I did not want to be a chaplain to begin with.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like the thing that anybody got called to. About 5.5 years in, probably before that, we were at Fort Hood, and there was a retired chaplain tried to get me to become a chaplain. And I was like, no way.
Never say never, right?
He kept on trying to get me to, and we ultimately were like, no. Then I went on my deployment in 2020, got to go to Saudi Arabia and complain in the place where the children of Israel complained. Mm. So it was beautiful how the Lord put me in a place to break me down.
Right.
And I still didn't want to give in to be a chaplain. So I was like, no. And my chaplain actually took me in his office on deployment, or into the tent, better yet. And had me sit with him, and he started filling out an application for me to be a chaplain. And I told him, no, sir. And he submitted that to the chaplain recruiter, which I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
Because while I was at Fort Leonard, this...
We're going to take a quick... Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break for commercials, and then we're going to hear the rest of your story. I'd hate to break into the middle of it, but we got to take a quick break. This is Pep Talk. If you've got a question, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Jamie Coffey is here with NAS Whiting Field, and we're hearing the story from Chaplain Ferguson. Is that correct?
Yes.
James, he goes by James Ferguson. His nickname is Chaps, telling us how he became a chaplain.
Yeah, so picking up where we left off, my chaplain from deployment had already turned in the application for me to be a chaplain.
Wild.
And it never went anywhere. But when I got to Fort Leonard, we were about to... ETS, which is to exit the service. And one of the commanders told me, you should be a chaplain. I'm like, no. But it didn't feel the same way as before. And we met a really good chaplain. And he talked me into, like, if you don't do it, someone will do it who doesn't feel called to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I really don't know if I feel called. So I went and seen the regimental engineer chaplain. And it turned out to be the chaplain recruiter that got my application. And he went ahead and updated some information and submitted it. And so they're like, yes.
Well,
they approved us. Long story short, I got approved to be a chaplain in the U.S. Army.
That is amazing. Wow. That is amazing.
So definitely called.
And I feel like officers, especially chaplains, you know, obviously they're officers in the military, but when they're prior enlisted, bring something to the fight to prep our warfighters in that way is just so effective. Just because I feel like you can talk our talk. I've recognized that just since you've been here. It's like you walk into a room and we're like, okay, we can just like pull you aside. It's pretty easy. Oh, man. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the chapel at Whiting. So you're kind of running it by yourself, but you also have an RP counterpart. So you do have an enlisted counterpart there?
Yes, RP2 DeBarba. We run it together.
Good.
He's a wonderful RP.
So you have a team, a two-man team right now that's running it. So I'm going to mention Blessing of the Wing ceremony. So when we talk about some of the things that go on the base, you know, that folks that don't realize that are happening inside the fence line, we have a winging ceremony that happens every 2 weeks. And there's something before that, and they call it the Blessing of the Wings. Can you like just kind of talk to what that is? So is it a priest comes in, right, and actually blesses the wings if they elect to do that before the ceremony?
Yes. So they put out for everyone who is graduating or at least leaving Whiting Field, they get their wings. They bring them in and give them the option to come and have their wings blessed by a priest. So we do a pre-ceremony,
yeah,
where we go through songs, prayers, and the families really love it. Especially it brings their faith to their calling in the military, and it really gives them a springboard forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we took pictures just this last Friday. We had a winging ceremony, and so yes, we're going to share that this week. So,
that's so
be on
special.
The lookout. Yeah, we're going to kind of tell that story of the Blessing of the Wings, and that's something that the chapel helps facilitate for those wingers. So really, really amazing stuff.
What is a typical day like for you?
Yeah.
So a typical day, it could be all over the place.
So there are no typical days?
Yeah, so there's no day that's the same as the last, which is a blessing. But we usually will do deck plating, which is where we just walk around to the different units, try to talk to them, get a feel on how they're doing, emotionally and spiritually, and how we can be a blessing to them. Mm. So it's beautiful. It's wonderful. And it kind of goes into the chaplain core things that we offer. I mean, our core functions. We provide for those of like faith. And this is all in daily deck plating. And we facilitate for those of different faiths. If they need somewhere to pray or if they need materials, we try to advocate for them in that.
Gotcha.
And we care for all, which we provide confidential counseling, which as chaplains, we're different than every other counselor that we know. Whereas they can come to us and everything they talk to us about one-on-one is 100% confidential, no matter what they tell us.
Yeah.
And so we can care for everyone in that way. And we advise commands on ethical and moral things going on in the units. So that's how we get that deck plating. So we get to do that a little bit every day, and then I do paperwork.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. The sad part of the sad part is all of the things that we have to tell the story of what you do and how you do it and how many counselings and what programs you facilitated and what you provided. And super interesting. Can you give us your own faith background? Tell us like what you believe or do you, what church you belong to? Like a, we say, what is your flavor?
Yeah. So I love this. This is where it's going to take forever for me to talk about. But I'm a Reformed Baptist.
Okay.
I hold to the five solas of the Reformation, in the gospel of Christ, him and him crucified and risen. That's where I stand. That's my faith, Christian.
Gotcha.
Okay. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. If you've got a question, please text it in at 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. I'm here this morning with our friends from NAS Whiting Field. Jamie Coffey is here with Chaps. Our chaplain Ferguson is here. So go ahead.
Yeah, we're just sitting here talking. And Chaps just mentions he's in the middle. He started a doctorate program. So
right, that's what again, we were talking about in the break.
Just making conversation. And you just happened to mention that you started a doctorate program.
Yeah, I was
program.
Like, oh, and by the way.
Can you tell, what is that? Like, what are you going to be focused on? What are you going to be studying?
Yeah, so the doctorate is in chaplaincy. It's,
okay.
It's led by it's through Liberty University, but a lot of the people at Liberty Baptist Fellowship, which is my endorser as a chaplain, are going to be the professors. So it's beautiful. I learn how to be a better chaplain, and especially to the tenets of my own faith. So it's wonderful.
Absolutely wonderful. Thanks for coming on the radio today. You know, and we always say we've already seen him in all of our workspaces.
Mm-hmm.
You're a pop-in, which this is what we want. And you say the deck plate visitation.
Yep.
So that's what, kind of where it all starts. I really think it does. But as far as the personnel that work day to day and the active duty, now can you serve and counsel others? Like can we talk a little bit about family members? Can they come in and make appointments with you if there's any religious needs or religious accommodations or just counseling? Will you do everybody on the base?
Yes, I encourage everyone to come to the chaplain or to the chapel to see us. We're here for not only service members, but their families.
Okay.
Also here to facilitate and help for the civilians that support us.
Okay.
The best way for someone to get in touch with you?
Yeah, I mean, they can. We have a number at the chapel they can call to get a hold of us. And the chaplain's office is 850-665-6110. And they can get a hold of us and we'll be available.
Absolutely. That's great. And you could just pop in too. That's the other thing is you guys are super welcoming. The team is very
welcoming. Come on in.
Come on over to the chapel. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Well, I can imagine that the best part of your job is when you're able to give a person who's really struggling with something a little peace.
Yeah.
Yes. I definitely love when people come to us that are struggling or suffering with something in life and give them that light of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Especially from my faith. I mean, Christ calls us to be a blessing to others and to lead them to the truth.
Yep. Absolutely. You are making impact. You mentioned that spiritual resilience, and I think that's, we do kind of like mind, body, spirit, and, you know, and all the different branches, say it differently. In the U.S. Navy, the mission is to build the spiritual readiness of warfighters and their families, ensuring they are mentally, morally, and spiritually resilient for the challenges of military service. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for providing that religious ministry at NAS Whiting Field.
It's a privilege and an honor.
Thanks again for coming on out.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you both. Jamie Coffey is here this morning along with Chaps, Chaplain Ferguson, all from the NAS Whiting Field. We appreciate all that you do for our military and for being here this morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. We'll be back after the news on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.